in place of the state funeral for Cory Aquino, the Aquino family had what they called the people's funeral for their mother. But because it was not a state funeral, there was none of the official representation of heads of state that normally occur during such occasions. However, there was one head of state who admirably persisted in attending, in fact, even getting muddied as a result of his being there. And this was the president of East Timor, Jose Manuel Ramos Horta. He spoke of his admiration for Cory. Now, Horta has something similar with Cory because he led a fight for freedom in his own country, first from the colonial power of Portugal, and then later it was occupied by Indonesia in 1975 until it was freed in 1999. In recognition of his leadership in the struggle, he was co-awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1996. And it was kahanga-hanga na naroon siya. Siguro ipisang pinapatunayan ito, people who have known oppression and fought for freedom from oppressors find strong bond with each other. Now we will come to that portion in Ecclesiastes where the preacher gives special thoughts to freedom from oppressors. Special thoughts on justice, on the fact of oppressed and oppressors in society. Kung matatandaan niyo, sinundan natin siya sa kanyang paghahanap ng pagkaunawa kung paano magkakaroon ng katuturan itong buhay na napakaikli. Yun ang kanyang problema. Napakaikli ng buhay. Anong katuturan ng buhay na ganito kaikli? He tried wisdom. And you can probably imagine him in libraries trying to search wisdom from books. And then he tried pleasure. And you can imagine him probably trying every gimmick and party just to make life pleasurable. And failing this, he became what we call today the workaholic, a life of stressful demands, probably in office or field work, and in the process, relations suffer. But in each case, be it wisdom, pleasure, or work, the preacher in his quest finds himself smashing upon this dead-end wall called death. It's the painful realization of the brevity of life. Ito yung matuklasan niya na napakaikli ng buhay kung ikukumpara sa mundo, kung ikukumpara sa mga sunod-sunod na henerasyon. And that painful realization brought him to some depressing and distressing conclusions. This is the danger of reading Ecclesiastes, to come to some of his depressing conclusion and to think he's teaching the truth. And we need to be very discriminating and discerning. But here, he comes to some flashes of wisdom about time, that there is purpose for everything, and the facts of eternity. But then, he made a grim observation, as we saw last Sunday, when he put man and beasts together. His conclusion was, men are themselves beasts. That's because of their depravity, because of their mortality. Without God, and left to himself, man seems no better than beasts. Now he extends his reflection to the relation of men in society, and he saw them as oppressed and oppressors. I invite you now to turn your Bibles to two brief passages of Ecclesiastes. First is chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun, and look, the tears of the oppressed. But they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they have no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead who were already dead, more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Now jump a little to chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Ecclesiastes 5, 8 and 9. If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter. For high official, watches over high official, and higher officials are over them. Moreover, the profit of the land is for all. The king himself is served from the field. So here we are, after the very depressing association of man with beasts, the preacher adds yet another depressing reflection. Panibago na namang nakapanlulumong pagmumuni nitong preacher sa Ecclesiastes. He suggests in chapter 4 that the state of the dead is better than that of the living. Parang mas mainam pa yung mga patay na kaysa sa mga buhay. Now, he's not talking of the afterlife. He's talking just of the dead, the state of the dead. And then he reflects, still better than both the living and the dead are the unborn, those who have never existed. Napaka-depressed ang taong to. Sabihin mo na mas mabuti pa yung mga patay, at pagkatapos mong sabihin yun ay mas mabuti pa kaysa sa mga buhay at patay ay yung hindi na nabuhay, those who have never existed. Now, what could be so depressing about earthly life that the preacher here would say it's better to be dead or else even much better never to have been born? Ano ba yung napaka-nakapanlulumo sa buhay sa mundo na ang konklusyon dito ng mga ngaral ay mas mabuti pang patay o kaya ay mas lalo pang mainam ay wag nang nabuhay? Bakit ganun ang kanyang nasabi? Well, his words were, I considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. That's what made him so depressed. That is what's so distressing about life on earth. Tiningnan niya ang kaapihan. Tiningnan niya ang mga taong inaapi. At sinabi niya, look the tears of the oppressed. He is filled with pity. He commiserates with the condition of the oppressed on the one hand, and on the other hand, he is filled with disgust at the oppressors. And I want to draw this message for this afternoon. Without the God of justice, human injustice minimizes the dignity and value of earthly life. Kung wala ang Diyos ng katarungan, ang kawalang katarungan ng tao ay minamaliit ang dignidad at halaga ng buhay sa mundo. Without the God of justice, human injustice minimizes, it belittles the dignity and value of earthly life. Now take note again, the key expression here is under the sun. He is reflecting life under the sun, which means it is a consideration of life outside of God's perspective. Tinitingnan niya ang buhay sa silong ng araw na tumutukoy sa pananaw sa buhay na wala ang Diyos. Kung wala ang Diyos, parang sinasabi niya, kung susumahin lang natin ang buhay bilang nasa silong ng araw, huwag nating isipin ang Diyos, eh ganito ang buhay. Masyadong nakapanlulumo. Oppression stared him in the face. And without thought of God, life is so minimal in value. That is so then, and it is still so today. And we need to understand the state of the oppressed, but with touch of wisdom. And there are three ways. First, without profit. Second, without power. And third, without comfort. This is the state of the oppressed. As the preacher reflects on their condition, they are without profit, without power, without comfort. First of all then, consider the oppressed as without profit. This is the brief analysis of 589. There is a brief analysis of why there is injustice. Bakit nagkakaroon ng kawalang katarungan sa mundo? At ang kanyang paliwanag ay parang moderno yung kanyang pananalita. It sounds modern. It's almost like a description of our bureaucracy. You know, there's an official, a higher official watches, and still a higher official watches over those high official. And it's hard to understand. In fact, different translations render this passage differently. But I think the sense is that people can have the same source of gain, in this case the land, from kings to peasants. They depend on the land. However, those who are highly placed have an unfair advantage. Yung mga nasa matataas na katungkulan, bagamat pare-parehong umaasa ang lahat sa lupain, yung mga nasa mataas na katungkulan ay merong kalamangan na hindi patas. Hindi pinapatas ang mga relasyon ng tao sa lipunan. So they take the fruit and profit from the land, and by the time it trickles down, there's no more for the poor. This is oppression. Profit for labor is an essential element of human dignity that is denied by an oppressive system. Yung kumita ay kasama sa dignidad ng tao bilang manggagawa, ngunit sa isang mapang-aping sistema, ito ay inaagaw sa kanila. Yan ang isang pagkaunawa ng pang-aapi. This is the economic side of oppression. It did not take Adam Smith or Karl Marx to see the economic side of oppression. Long, long ago, you find this in Ecclesiastes. You find this in Leviticus. You find this in Deuteronomy. In other words, it is the Word of God that tells us that one explanation for oppression is that people should be profiting from their labor and it is taken away by an oppressive system. Ang mga tao dapat ay kumikita sa kanilang paggawa, subalit sa isang mapang-aping sistema, ito ay inaagaw sa kanila. Profit motive is not sinful. It is built into us. The Bible tells us so. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor, there is profit. Sa lahat ng paggawa, ay meron dapat pagkita, may pakinabang. And this is what even the poor need, to work. You know, I have never been comfortable with the idea of mendicancy to the poor. Paglilimos sa mga mahihirap. Yung akala na para makatulong sa mga mahihirap ay give away, bigay dito, bigay doon. Hindi po yan ang aking pananaw, sa aking palagay, hindi ayon sa salita ng Diyos. Rather, give them decent work. And there must be a system that pays decently for their labor. It will not only feed them, it will dignify them. Ayan ang mahalaga na makita natin. At isang bagay na gusto nating mabago sa lipunan ay yung mga tao merong value of work. And this, according to sociologist Max Weber, is what the Protestant ethic has been able to build into society's work ethic. The idea that you must work in order to gain. And this is something that we need to perpetuate. Sa ating mga pagtuturo sa mga anak natin, huwag ka lang bigay. Ay tinuturuan mo siyang maaga pa'y pulubi. Kinakailangan turuan mo na yung kanyang tinatanggap ay may kaukulang paggawa. This is biblical. But when structure in society denies decent income because of the oppressors, it attacks human dignity. That's the economic side of oppression. And one thing it tells us, again, this may sound modern, but it does root itself in Scripture, is that we must practice and advocate profit sharing in our own voluntary use of our resources. Now, I said voluntary. I do not believe in socialist structure that imposes equity of income based on government imposition. I mean this in a voluntary sense of charity, compassion for fellow men. This is what we need. This is Christian, not Marxist. For all his tirade against capitalist oppression, did you know that Karl Marx treated his own house servant cruelly? His servant was named Lenchen, never paid her, and yet she was treated like a slave. And this was the man who was calling for our laborers in the world to unshackle their chains. There can be such inconsistency even among Christians. We advocate justice. Look at yourself, how you treat your fellow men. If you're a superior, how you treat your subordinate. how you treat those below you in structure. Paano mo tinatrato ang mga kapwa mo? Yan ang isang bagay na ipanghamon natin sa ating sarili. Generosity, liberality must not just be words of principle to us. They must be our practice. And we need to practice them because we live in a society that is oppressive. And we need to counter that by liberality, by generosity, by sharing voluntarily what God has given to us. Yan ba'y ginagawa natin? So this is one way to explain the oppressed, they are without profit. Secondly, they are without power. Listen to chapter 4, on the side of the oppressors, and he makes a very simple explanation. On the side of the oppressors, power. Now this is very deep insight in an ancient literature. Long before the political geniuses of classic literature, before the Machiavellis and the John Stuart Mills and Karl Marx, before these geniuses, this man of Ecclesiastes already had the insight that what explains oppression is the function of power. Ito ay dahil sa kapangyarihan na nakasalalay, nakalagay lamang sa isang panig. Kapag ang kapangyarihan ay nasa isang panig lamang, human power all by itself will always tend to oppress and exploit the powerless. That's always what history teaches us. It bears out the fact that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And political theorists have sought to understand why. Why history bears out again and again that when power is just on one side or one person or one party, there will always be the tendency to corrupt. Well, the biblical scrutiny of the human condition provides a simple answer. Depravity. Sinfulness. In fact, this is a concept that the Puritans of England, when they were persecuted, nung sila inuusig na sa Inglaterra at tumawid sila ng Atlantic upang maghanap ng bagong bansa, at nung makita nila, dumaong sila sa isang lugar na ang tawag natin ngayon ay Massachusetts. Ang tinawag nila doon ay New England. And there they started a colony. But even before they went to the colony, they had a compact which history now recognizes as the Mayflower Compact. That's the name of their ship. Yung pangalan ng kanilang barko ay Mayflower. At kung sila ay nagkasundo-sundo kung anong uri ng lipunan ng kanilang itatayo sa kanilang pupuntahan, gumawa sila ng isang kasulatan. At ang tawag roon ay Mayflower Compact. This was the starting point of the principle known to us now as government by consent. Pamamahala ng ayon sa pagsang-ayon, ng pinapamahalaan. When we think of democracy today, we usually associate it with majority rule. Yan ang akala natin sa demokrasya, majority rule. Hindi po. To the Puritans, the more basic principle of democracy was check and balance. What they thought was you cannot put power on just one side. There must be a separation of powers. There must be check and balance. Why? Because of human sin. You see how practical the doctrine of depravity is? It built democracy in the sense of you need to check, you need to balance the powers of one side, because left to itself without balance, it will sin. It will corrupt. So the Puritans saw from scripture and experience that you cannot put power on just one party because of sin. And every story of oppression is a story of abuse of power, whether in terms of exploiting the powerless, perpetuating themselves in power, that's always the case. That power may be political over a whole nation or society, and you have cruel dictatorships. And you have a living personification of that in Kim Jong-il of North Korea. What would you say of a government when it happened just a few months ago, an elderly woman
mistakenly stepped into the borders of North Korea, and without warning, she was shot to death. What would you call that kind of government? But that's absolute power. That power may be financial. So you have monopolies that dictate price without any conscience to the poor. Or fraud. And you have again the name of Greg Madoff. Just because he had control of so much resources, he thought he could defraud his clients without control. Well, now he's suffering in prison, never to be released all his lifetime. But that power may be personal or relational. One of its ugliest in society is child cruelty from their own parents. And we see this splashed on TV, on newspaper, again and again. And it is something that should make us cry. But brethren, I have seen this abuse even in churches. Pastors who rule worse than popes in absolute power. And I know whereof I speak because I have personally lived and endured under two such pastorates in my young Christian life. Both excommunicated me. I don't mind that, but I have seen the abuse of power using scripture and spiritual rationalization. It's in all of us. Unless we are constrained, restrained, we too will oppress. So what do we need to help the oppressed? Well, again, this may sound modern, but this is rooted in scripture. The powerless must be given empowerment, but with wisdom. Dapat natin bigyan sila ng kapangyarihan, ngunit may karunungan. You see, oftentimes the result of oppression on the oppressed is passive acceptance of their condition. Professional workers will tell you that battered wives often resort to blaming themselves. Yung mga asawang binubugbog, eh, karaniwan naman yung babae, eh, may lalaki rin binubugbog siguro, pero karaniwan babae ang binubugbog. At sa mga professional workers na nagpapayo sa kanila, itong madalas nilang makita, natutuklas sa nila, sinisisi nila yung kanilang sarili. Well, that's the effect of oppression. Battered wives just accept their condition. Rape victims are often blamed. Oh, they're asking for it. And let me say, here is a common misunderstanding. They think rape primarily is about sex and lust. No, the real factor in rape is power. The abuse of power in the most conscienceless exercise of it. And one service we can render to the powerless is to empower them. Make them decide according to their conscience. That's already empowerment. But decide with wisdom. And this is where in society education is important. One of the most quotable in Rizal's El Filibusterismo is in the words of Padre Florentino, "If you do not educate the people, today's oppressed will be tomorrow's oppressors." Pag hindi mo sila bigyan ng edukasyon, ang mga naaapi ngayon ay silang mang-aapi bukas. At ilang ulit siyang napatunayan sa kasaysayan. Pag walang karunungan, basta bigyan mo lang ng kapangyarihan, yung dating inapi ay sila na ang mang-aapi. So we need empowerment with wisdom. But let me tell you, the Christian has the best option of empowerment. How? Via the spectacle of the most powerless, the cross of Christ. This is the reason why I chose this hymn before the message, Meekness and Majesty. There you see the majesty in Christ, yet on the cross. In meekness. This is indeed in Christian theology is the root of real power. Is the powerless spectacle of Christ dying on the cross. That's what Paul said. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4, though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. That's power for the Christian. In realizing that he who had all the power in his hands yet put himself in the hands of abusers and oppressors. And that's what those people did not realize. In fact, Paul said if they knew, if they had the wisdom of God, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they did. They did not realize. They thought they were exercising power. In fact, the most powerful has voluntarily put himself in the hands of oppressors, abusers, so that he may die on the cross. And on that death on the cross is power for you and me. Power in the sense of understanding life as it really is. Power in having relationship with God. Power in understanding what God's plan is. That's the best option of power. And someone here may have the power of education. You may have your ambition quite settled in your hands. But if you are not in Christ, you do not know that power which alone sets free from that which enslaves us the most. And that is sin. And that's the ultimate statement of God. When you say there is no justice in this world, and we can advance theories upon theories, political and economic, to explain there must be some justice. But for the Christian, the ultimate explanation that there is justice is look on the cross. There on the cross, when sin was placed upon the Son as substitute, even God would not spare his own Son. He needed to be punished. That's justice. And that statement is telling us no sin will go unspared, will go spared. Every sin will find punishment. Criminals may escape human tribunal now. Hitler may have committed suicide in his bunker without having to face his crimes. Or Idi Amin, exiled in Saudi Arabia, dying peacefully. But they will face the tribunal of God. That's what the cross reminds us. So I believe in justice. Sometimes justice is compromised and flouted in society, but I believe in justice. At dapat tayong maniwala sa katarungan. At ito'y batay sa krus ng ating Panginoong Hesus Kristo. And so even if you are powerless in society, in Christ there is empowerment that oppressors cannot touch. You remember the proud words of Pilate to Jesus? Do you not know I have power to kill you? I have power to release you? And Jesus' words were, you will have no power over me unless it is granted from above. And every Christian can take those words, apply it to your situation of powerlessness, and say, whatever they touch on me as oppressors, it is only because heaven permitted them. That's power. And if you are the one who has some power in you by position, by finances, by whatever means, use it as one humbled by the powerful becoming powerless in the person of Christ. The oppressed are without power. And finally, the oppressed are without comfort. Twice here, the preacher made that observation. They have no comforter. Inulit niya. Para bang sa kanya ay tanggap ko na may nang-aapi at may inaapi. Ang hindi matanggap ng kanyang kalooban ay yung mga naaapi ay walang nagtatanggol, walang nagbibigay ng aliw. This is what's so unacceptable to him. That's why he was crying out, look, the tears of the oppressed. Parang sinasabi niya, hindi niyo ba nakikita? Wala kayong pagkilos, alang-alang sa kanila. Well, it teaches us, brethren, that we all share in the affliction of earthly life, but we all need comfort. We all need comforters. Ikaw at ako ay may bahagi sa kapighatian ng buhay. Pero kailangan natin ng tagaaliw, tagapagtanggol. And especially when affliction is in the form of oppression. When your affliction comes from the hands of oppressors, it becomes a special case of needing comfort. For when you are the victim of abuse and exploitation by the powerful, we long for the assurance that humanity is not all this ugly. That kindness is still true and alive in the human community. And this is why we need the company of comfort. Ecclesiastes already said so in our past meditations. Two are better than one, he said. If they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let me just draw this challenge for us. It reminds us of such a need for the ministry of comfort. The ministry of comfort is one of the most needed in earthly life and one of the most profitable of Christian graces. And it's interesting, the Greek translation of the Hebrew word chooses a word that in the New Testament will attach to the comforter. Who is the comforter? Jesus promised, I send you another comforter. Why another comforter? Because he is the original comforter. And now the Holy Spirit is by whom we experience the comfort of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And if we have the Holy Spirit, it must be a special concern for us to be able to minister comfort to the afflicted. And brethren, they are all around you. Some may just be an arm's reach away from you, just needing a tap, perhaps a touch. And this is what the church ought to be. The church must be a community of comfort. The words of Ecclesiastes in our text must never be said of the church. They have no comforter. For we all need such company. John Bunyan showed his wisdom on this by making his main character in the Pilgrim's Progress, if you know the story. He always gave him a companion. From the time of entering the wicket gate towards the celestial city, Bunyan had the wisdom to always provide Christian, the main character, a companion. First, there was Faithful. Until they come to Vanity Fair, Faithful was killed. But again, Bunyan did not leave him alone. He needed a company until the celestial city, now in the character of Hopeful, until they cross the river of death. It is telling us, you're not meant to walk alone. You're not meant to reach the celestial city alone. You need company. And as you need company, be someone's company. Be someone's comfort. And one thing that means, never give up on the injustices of this world. Sometimes you cry over it. Sometimes you feel fury that injustice prevails. Whether in fury or in tears, never resign yourself to injustice. For the cross reminds us there is justice, and a time is coming when justice will rule. And if that is the case, let it be my campaign, let it be my cause, that where my hands can reach, I will try to undo injustice, undo oppression, and let justice prevail. And may God help us indeed to make this our cause, because this is not the devil's world. This is still my Father's world. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo kami, Panginoon, na tunay ngang maunawaan ang aming mundo, ang aming lipunan na pinananahanan ng mga makasalanang tao at kasama sa kasalanan ay ang katotohanan ng pangaapi, may mga nang-aapi, may mga inaapi, at huwag nawa kaming basta bumigay lamang sa ganitong katotohanan kundi maramdaman namin ang panlulumo na ganito ang nangyayari. And may we have the understanding that we cannot resign ourselves to this reality. But we need to understand that the oppressed are without profit. That though they share in the sources of gain, yet it trickles down to them so little because of oppressors. The oppressed are without power. And indeed, power, when it is left to one side, will tend to corrupt. And we see so much of that corrupt power in our society, even in workplaces, or indeed even in churches. And grant, O Lord, that we may understand that one ministry we need is to empower the oppressed, but empower them with the touch of wisdom. And what better power is there than that power that comes from the powerless one on the cross? For he who was powerful became powerless, so that he may empower those who are in the slavery of sin. And grant, O Lord, that we may know of this power from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, to understand that the oppressed are without comfort. And may we feel the distress of this reality. And help us, Lord, to understand the need, the basic need of man for comfort. And we as Christians, may we be those who actively exercise the grace and ministry of comfort to others. And we thank you that the ultimate comfort is in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose comfort comes down to us through the Comforter himself, the Holy Spirit. And knowing this, may we actively exercise the ministry of comfort, and may our church be a community where comfort prevails. And grant, Lord, that all this means we will not give up on the injustices of this world, that we will make it our cause to promote justice even in our own lives and relations, even in the realm where you have given us some power. And grant that we would look at the world not as the realm of the devil, but this is still our Father's world, and one day all wrongs will be corrected, all injustices will be vindicated. And we know this because when the Son took upon himself the sin of the world, even he you did not spare, and you will not spare those who continue in their injustices. But grant, O Lord, that we may know the power of the cross upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.